Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation is found in our first lesson, Jeremiah 23. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. O Lord, be with us as we study your word today, the truths of the scripture, where in the scripture alone we find the truth about Jesus. Sanctify us by that truth, for your word is true. Amen. What does this mean? It's a familiar question, isn't it? A question that's near and dear to many of us. It's a question that we've been asking ourselves as we've learned the different parts of Luther's small catechism. But it's not a question that's reserved only for catechism instruction. As we celebrate this festival of Reformation, and a momentous one at that, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, people are asking that question today. What does this mean? What does it mean to be a Lutheran? Did you know that Martin Luther was not very fond of people calling themselves Lutheran? In fact, he much rather that people would have called themselves Christians, for that is what Luther was preaching. He was preaching Christ and his word. And yet the name stuck, and it's estimated that today that there are over 80 million people who call themselves Lutheran. What does this mean? Does that name Lutheran carry the same weight and meaning today? Nadia Bolz Weber is a famous Lutheran pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. She will be one of the featured speakers at the upcoming Elka Youth Rally. As a Lutheran pastor, she admits to being a universalist, which means she believes that everyone is going to ultimately be saved. She believes that no one believes every line that's in the Apostles' Creed. She believes that it was not necessary for Jesus to die in our place as our substitute in order for us to go to heaven. And she believes that hell is imaginary. Is that what it means to be a Lutheran? I think we would honestly say no, because we don't believe any of those things that I've just listed to be true. So what does it mean to be a Lutheran? What does it mean to be a Lutheran in the same way that Martin Luther was a Lutheran? What is it that made someone Lutheran? The Lutheran Reformation was founded on what we call the solas. It's a Latin word which means alone. And there's really four solas that summarize what Luther rediscovered and reintroduced to the world. And in honor of the 500th anniversary of that blessing to us, we're going to spend four different Sundays over the course of the next couple of months looking at those solas. The Lutheran Reformation was primarily a return to the Scriptures as the only source of authority for the life of the believer. Luther himself said, "I simply taught, preached, and wrote God's word, otherwise I did nothing. The word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. I did nothing, the word did nothing." Everything. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone is our focus today. What does this mean? May the words of the prophet Jeremiah help us to see that Scripture alone is God's message to us. And it's in Scripture alone where we find our Savior Jesus. There once was a man, a servant of God, who was preaching a message that the leaders of his day did not want to hear. Because of his message, he was often in danger, great danger, even of losing his life. He was punished by the local rulers, and so great was the distaste for this man that they demanded that his writings be burned. Who is the man? Sounds an awful lot like what Martin Luther went through, doesn't it? Because of his refusal to recant his teachings, Luther was declared to be an outlaw by the emperor and could be killed on sight. He was excommunicated by the church. The church insisted that his writings be burned. And yet, Martin Luther isn't the only right answer. This also describes exactly what the prophet Jeremiah went through. And it's one of those despised messages that Jeremiah brought from the Lord to the rulers of his day that we have before us this morning. He writes, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord." King David and the kings after him were given a special job. God writes in Psalm 78, "He chose David his servant and took him from the sheep pens. From tending the sheep, he brought him to be the shepherd of his people Jacob, of Israel his inheritance." The kings of Judah and Israel were to be spiritual shepherds. But many of the kings who followed David failed miserably in this task. They were guiding the sheep, but in all sorts of different directions, and none of them were for the good of the sheep. The sheep of Israel were missing out on the spiritual streams and grasslands, and instead they were being made to drink from murky waters of false gods and false teachings. And Jeremiah calls out these leaders, these kings, and he shares a chilling message from the Lord for them. "Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord." Unfortunately, things were not any different in Luther's day. The saving truths of God's word had long been overshadowed and obscured by the spiritual shepherds of that day with their preachings of works and their sales of indulgences and relics and rites. Luther lamented how awful it was that those who were supposed to be leading the people, the shepherds of the people, did not know the scriptures themselves. It was like the blind leading the blind, like sheep leading sheep. It wasn't going to end well. Is it really any different today? Where are the shepherds of our world pointing us to? The idea that this world is all that there is, so we better well enjoy it while we can? Are they pointing us to ourselves and to our own efforts and works? That if we simply just think positively and try harder, that everything will work out? It's true that there are plenty of bad shepherds out there today who are giving messages to people that are leading them away from the truth, but we really can't just put the blame on the bad shepherds. Because we realize that we are like sheep who love to wander. And despite the warnings of our good shepherds, despite the warnings, oftentimes we ignore the green pastures and the quiet waters that are right there for us, and instead we find ourselves in murky waters. So what is your spiritual murky water? Are you like Noah, who in a moment of weakness found his strength in alcohol rather than in the Almighty God? Are you like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who practiced deceit, who trusted in their own cunning rather than in the Lord's plan? Maybe you're like David and Solomon, who allowed the lust in their hearts to manifest itself in adultery, the same lust and adultery that runs through our hearts and minds. No, the shepherds of Jeremiah's time and Luther's time and today, they're not blameless. In fact, many of the shepherds fit the description of Jeremiah to a T. But we're not blameless either. The Bible calls us sheep. And sheep need shepherds. We need good shepherds to keep us from wandering. We need good shepherds to keep us on the straight and narrow, on the path that leads to eternal life. And so listen to what God did. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. God gave you shepherds in your life. He gave you your parents and your extended family who first taught the truth of God's word to you. He gave you Christian friends and acquaintances. He's given you a school filled with God-fearing men and women who are instructed and equipped to instruct and correct and encourage. And whether you've been a lifelong member of this congregation or not, week in and week out, you come here to this place and you hear God's guidance given in the public proclamation of His Word. For the message we preach is not human philosophy or the latest ideas of the day. No, the message we preach is Christ crucified and risen. That the forgiveness of sins and eternal life is yours through faith. That's the message that flows from the pages of Scripture. That's God's message to us. It was true for Jeremiah, it was true for Luther, and it's true for us today. And while an earthly shepherd, a good earthly shepherd, can help to guide you and protect you, an earthly shepherd cannot save you. The solution to the problem of wandering sheep and misguided shepherds is not and cannot be simply try harder next time or be a better person. It is not and cannot be that because it's impossible. I'm imperfect. You're imperfect. I am not righteous. You are not righteous. So again, God stepped in. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Did you catch it? It was quick. It was seemingly so small, but in reality, it was the biggest thing that's ever happened in our lives. Just three little letters describe how God fixed our problem of imperfection and our lack of righteousness. O and U and R. You do not need a better guidebook or a better rule book in order to get into heaven. You needed righteousness. So God gave you righteousness. Jeremiah says here that the gift that God gave is named the Lord our righteousness, but for all your years, you've probably called him by a different name. Jesus. God sent Jesus to be you, in your place. He sent Jesus to take on human flesh. He sent Jesus to be subject to the law that was written on those stone tablets. He sent Jesus to undergo the temptations of the devil and the sinful world in which we live. He sent Jesus to be subject to all of the same frustrations and pain and sufferings that you undergo. Only he sent Jesus to keep those commands. He sent Jesus to withstand those temptations, to overcome those trials and tribulations. And Jesus did just that. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus alone earned righteousness before God, and then he gave it as a gift to each and every one of you when he sacrificed that life on the cross. And how can that gift possibly be applied to you? Paul writes to the Romans, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." It is Scripture alone that tells us what Jesus has done. It is Scripture alone through which the Holy Spirit works to create faith, to cause us to believe in what Jesus has done. It is Scripture alone that led Luther to discover that the righteousness that God demanded did not come from Luther himself, but rather from the Lord, our righteousness, from Christ. Jesus is our righteousness. That is what it means to be a Lutheran. That is what Luther taught, and that is what we teach. This is what we believe. This is what empowers us to live our lives of thanksgiving. It is through Scripture alone that God grows his church. It is through Scripture alone that we have the power to live lives of thanksgiving to God, because it is Scripture alone that changes hearts of stone into hearts of faith. It is Scripture alone that is the authority and guide for our lives. And therefore, it is Scripture alone that we will proclaim. What does it mean to be a Lutheran? Unfortunately, if you asked that question today, the answers we would hear would be wide and varied. But for Luther, being a Lutheran simply meant being a Christian. Christ was his sole focus. Scripture alone was his authority. And he was willing to stake his life on that. May we be so bold and so focused that nothing ever shake us or move us off of sola scriptura, Scripture alone. Amen.